Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you'll enjoy this message by Pastor Joey Bonifacio.
Title of my message today is Who Stole 2020? Bloomberg and its commentators say that this is the lost year for money, finance, and investments. The Herald declares that this is the lost year for entertainment, for Broadway, for sports, and for all sorts of things that we used to have on a regular basis. The magazine Condé Nast tells us that this is the lost year for travel and culinary delights. And all these other different media sources say that this is 2020 is the lost year. Now, that would be true unless if this was the year that you got closer to God, then this cannot be a lost year, because ultimately God is the most valuable person that you could ever have. If this year became a year where you got closer to your closer relationships, your family, your wife, your spouse, your children, then this cannot be a lost year. And if this year was the year that you actually had better health because you took care of yourself in a better way, how can this be a bad year? And more than that, Matthew chapter 6:33 says, Jesus said, "But if we seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, all these things will be given to us as well." In other words, not only can we hope that we will be closer to God, have closer relationships and better health, very possible that if we still have our jobs, this might actually be a better year for finances for us because we're spending less and we're not getting sickness more and we're doing the right stuff. But nevertheless, people still say this is the lost year of 2020. For the most part, it's because people don't realize that the number one thing they really need to have is God. And when your values are about food and clothing, which is, by the way, there's nothing wrong with that. I love stuff like that. The point is, God is infinitely more valuable than all of those. Back in Matthew chapter 6, verse 19, Jesus tells us, "Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal." The idea of being stolen from is when thieves steal from you. That word thieves is the word kleptes. In other words, they don't have the ability to kill you, but they can steal from you. And that word steal is the word we're familiar with, which is the Greek word klepto. And here we find what thieves break in and steal. They do not steal your bottled water. They steal your treasures. And if we believe that God is the highest treasure, then that's the target. If they can steal our relationship from God, they can pretty much steal what is most valuable to us. Now, it says that the key is not to store on earth, because whatever is stored on earth can be stolen from us, including our relationship with God. Therefore, the question becomes, who stole 2020? Now, John chapter 10, verse 10 tells us who. But before I tell you who he is, it says, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. But Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it abundantly." This is one of my favorite Bible verses. For the most part, because it uses this term or says this term, "I came that they may have life," or "I may have life and have it abundantly." That word abundantly is the Greek word peri sauce, not to be mistaken for the chicken sauce, peri-peri sauce. Peri sauce simply means superior quality life. Jesus said he came to give us this superior quality life, a super abundant quantity life, a life that is beyond excessive advantage. Powerful stuff. The question is, why don't we have that? Whether it's in COVID or pre-COVID or this current moment we're in, it's not about what situation we're in. Jesus said you can have this life. And the reason why we don't is not because of COVID, but because there is a thief, a kleptes, who's stealing these from us. And this thief comes to steal, klepto. And the whole idea is of this thief is to steal this superior quality life that Jesus intended for us, regardless of what the situation around us may be. The question is, who is this thief? The book of Revelation, chapter 12, verse 9, tells us exactly who this thief is. It says the great dragon was hurled down, that ancient serpent called the devil or Satan. Talks about this being, this powerful being, Satan, who leads the world astray. He was hurled down to earth and his angels with him. And a quick summary of this is that Satan rebelled against God. He was cast down to earth. Now, you're probably wondering, why does God allow this thief to wander around? Well, the reason is very simple. If God killed this angel, then we will all be serving God not out of love, but out of fear of him. Yes, actually using this angel, this false angel, or this devil, or Satan, to teach us to decide where our hearts really belong. Now, here's how Satan works. This is who he is. We figure out how this thief steals from us when we understand his four other names. His first name is the name Tempter. We find that in the book of Matthew, chapter 4, verse 3. And the tempter came and said to Jesus, "If you are the Son of God, command these stones to become loaves of bread." Notice that's his name, the tempter. That's just one of his names. And his goal is to tempt us and make us or say to us, convince us otherwise that God's character and person is not reliable. And he says, "If you are the Son of God," that's what temptation is, by the way. It always starts with a question. The question that Adam and Eve were posed to was, did God really say? In other words, it's always about questioning God's word. When we question God's word in temptation, we question his character. When we question his character, we end up questioning his person. That's how the devil works. He tempts us, and his weapon is temptation. Now, Jesus tells us how you can counter temptation and how this temptation will not be allowed to steal the life that Jesus had for you. He says, "Watch and pray so that you will not fall into temptation." The key, therefore, to overcoming temptation is prayer. I learned this the hard way as a young Christian, a young father. I thought I could just go around life just doing everything I wanted, not realizing temptation is real, and more real was prayer. Once I got to understanding prayer, I understood that temptation can be negated. While temptation is questioning God's word, his character, and his person, prayer is to invite his presence. Prayer is to know his preeminence. Prayer is to praise him. And prayer is to declare his power over all my situations and to agree with his purposes for my life and the plans for my life and to trust that he will have provisions, he will have peace, and he will have protection. Prayer is powerful. It's the antidote to every kind of temptation, the first stage in the way the thief steals from us. Question for you today, how can you watch so you can pray and not fall into temptation? I got up this morning and took a walk from my home and spent a better part of about 90 minutes to almost 2 hours, and it doesn't mean you have to do it my way, but prayer is powerful. When we pray, temptation is negated and we're able to move on with life, the quality life, the perisos life that God has ordained for us. Now, the second name of the devil or Satan is deceiver. We find that verse in Revelation chapter 12, verse 9. And the great dragon was thrown down, that ancient serpent who is called the devil and Satan, the deceiver of the whole world. This is the devil. He is the deceiver. His goal is to deceive us. And his weapon of choice is called deception. Last week, I showed you this grid of values. By the way, you might not realize this, but deception has a lot to do with values. And we said that these are the structure of values: God, relationships or life, health, money, food, and clothes. And we said that Jesus said the ones that store in heaven, God and our relationships, are the premier values. Add our health to that and you have the most valuable things in life. The devil's deception is to convince us that those are not the highest values. These are. Now, in COVID, we saw that the malls were closed. And we saw that money, while important, is not the most important. And while food is important, we could survive in our own homes. And while clothes are important, all the stores are closed. We realize ultimately what the real values are. Now, here's how deception works. The devil wants to convince us, nonetheless, that while food is food and it's harmless, it's not really just a difference of value. You can actually exchange these things, and you can use clothes and exchange that for your body or your health, which is really not true. In fact, the real goal is not even that. The goal of the devil is to convince us that values are relative. They're all equal, and you can change that whichever way you want. And let me warn you, that is dangerous. Because when you lose the premier value, then you are in danger of being deceived. Deception is a sly tactic. The way the thief deceives us is not something like telling us an outright lie. In Adam and Eve, he said, you know, there's something that is not as bad. It's just the fruit that you can replace God with. With Jesus, it wasn't the fruit. It was a simple matter of a bread. This is what deception looks like. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, the tempter came to Jesus to tempt him and to change these stones into bread. Now watch what happens. Jesus answered him and said, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. This is the key to overcoming deception. The word of God. Prayer is to the heart. Deception is to the mind. Meditating on the word of God is the way you eliminate deception in your life. It's literally the antidote to whatever deception the devil has to offer you. When we're deceived, our lives take on a very different meaning. We start valuing the wrong things and problems begin to ensue. The Bible tells us and warns us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed. It says, do not conform. Do not allow the words of the devil to deceive you. But be transformed, it says. In other words, not reformed, transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. If we do that by the meditating of the word, it says, then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is. Interesting. When we meditate on the word of God, when we think the thoughts of God, we will be able to test and know this is what's really good for us and approve of the real valuable things in life. What the result is, we begin to declare, you know, God's will is better. You know, God's will is not just good, it's actually pleasurable. You know, God's will is not just good and pleasing, it is actually perfect. That's the key to overcoming the wiles of the devil. Now, in what area of your life are you prone to deception? For me, back in those days, it was substance abuse. I had a tendency to eat a lot of chocolates and still do. And I had a tendency to drink a lot of beer in those days. There was a deception that I needed to curb. And I needed to understand that that wasn't good for me. Now, Satan does not just tempt us and deceive us. The antidote to temptation is prayer, and the antidote to deception is to meditate on the word of God. But the Bible tells us that the devil or Satan has a third name, and that name is the name adversary. We find that verse in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8. Your adversary, the devil, there it is again, prowls around like a roaring lion seeking someone to destroy. Now, this is different now. While ago, when you look at temptation, temptation is not necessarily as dangerous. It's the prelude to a deception. It's an offer. It doesn't mean you've fallen for it. Jesus was tempted. And by the way, none of us are exempted from temptation, which is why you need to be good at prayer. But when you have temptation and you have deception, deception now is the ticket, because once you bite that fruit, once you make that move, you're now beyond just temptation and deception. The adversary now prowls around like a roaring lion and can now destroy you. Now notice in John 10:10, it says, the thief comes to steal. When he comes to steal, he's coming with the temptation. When we buy to the temptation, he's able to deceive us, and that's deception, the stages of which he steals from us. The next stage is different. He's able to kill us. The Greek word for to kill here is thuol, which really literally means to burn you out. In other words, because your values have changed, he's deceived you into putting your energies in life in the wrong values. You're actually killing yourself. It's interesting how the devil works. He doesn't even have to kill you. If the devil was so powerful and he was in his whole desire, mandate, and mission is to kill you, then the big question is, why are you still alive? Because he cannot push you down a staircase. He can only tempt and deceive you. God made it that way so that you will decide which one is really more valuable. That you will decide, I refuse to be tempted and I refuse to be deceived. That way he cannot kill me. The adversary, once he meditates, destroys you, he uses the word condemnation. He doesn't have any power. He condemns you. He keeps reminding you of all the issues of the past, of the present and the future, the weaknesses and all the things that make you look like you don't have the ability to overcome him. He throws fear at you and condemns you and tells you you have no right to stand before God. You have no right to pray and you have no right to even think the thoughts of God. Here's the good news. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, it says, the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. In other words, Jesus is the secret to overcoming condemnation. Prayer will eliminate temptation. Meditating on the Word will renew our minds and allow us to walk in circumspect ways to serve God. But nothing can beat condemnation except the proclamation of the good news of Jesus Christ. I want to urge you today to learn that. I learned that also the hard way. I thought I could just be religious. I thought I could just go to church. I thought I could just read my Bible and pray and meditate on the Word. I didn't realize how important the proclamation of Jesus is. The reminder every day, pick up that bread, pick up that cup, and proclaim, Jesus died for me. There is now no condemnation for me. The sins of the past, the present, and the future have been washed away. And every time the devil, the adversary, the lion prowls around and throws condemnation at you, tell him, I proclaim that Jesus' work is done to destroy your works. Now, question for you today, how can you deliberately practice proclaiming what Jesus has done for you in your daily life? I had to learn that. And you know what? I learned that by just picking a cup and a bread. Every time I would have lunch or dinner or have a snack, I'll just remind myself, Jesus, whatever issues, whatever bad thoughts, whatever things I did today, maybe I reacted wrongly to my wife, maybe I said the wrong thing to a staff member, whatever it is, I remove this condemnation and I proclaim that you did all the works to destroy the enemy from condemning me. Now, as we move forward in understanding how Satan steals, kills, and destroys, he starts with temptation because he's a tempter. And we know that the antidote is prayer, that when we pray, then temptation ends. In fact, if you don't want to get to condemnation, just do that every day. That's why I pray as often as I can, is because I don't even want to get to deception and condemnation. But let's say you got to deception because of the deceiver. Meditate on the Word is the antidote. And the more you meditate on the Word, the more the deception fades and dies. And let's just say that you actually make the wrong move and you are now condemned because of the adversary. Now all you have to do is proclaim the good work of Jesus Christ. Now, here's the problem when you allow temptation, deception, and condemnation to root. The final blow is probably the most dangerous blow of the devil. His final name is the accuser. The Bible tells us in Revelation chapter 12, verse 10, for the accuser of our brothers and sisters who accuses them before our God day and night. This is the accuser. This is his work. His work is the work of accusation. The whole goal of accusation is very different from condemnation. Condemnation is about our personal lives. The accuser is about our brothers and sisters. The goal of accusation is to isolate you from your brothers and sisters who can help you grow in prayer, in the Word, and the understanding of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Because if he can isolate you from the people who love you the most, he can now completely destroy you. As we end this message, we find again in John chapter 10, verse 10, the thief comes to steal. Temptation. Deception, he now begins to kill or thuo, and finally, he's able to destroy. That Greek word is apolume. In other words, he's able to destroy you by destroying each other through accusation. Think about the recent spate of racism. The people who are prejudiced over other people's races, and the people who are prejudiced who are now haters of the people who are prejudiced. And because of the accusation back and forth, ultimately, they will destroy each other. That's the work of the devil. Temptation, deception, condemnation, accusation. The key to eliminate accusation is fellowship. When we fellowship with one another and pray together and meditate on that word day and night together and proclaim the gospel that God loves us, the accusations melt. They disappear. Question for you, final question. In which of these are you prone to being stolen from by the thief? Prayer? Meditating on the word? Is it proclaiming the gospel or is it fellowshipping? What are you willing to do to change that area of weakness? Is my final question to you. We always end our moment of meditating on the word and go back to proclaiming Jesus. By the way, if you've ever wondered why our services are structured that way, it's because we believe that these are the ways to have the parousos life God intended for you. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for exposing the thief to us and for showing us that if we resist the devil, he will flee from us. Thank you for teaching us how to pray and eliminate temptation from our lives. Keep us from being deceived as we grow in meditating on your word. We proclaim your good news and good work that has destroyed the adversary's hold over us. We are not condemned because of what you did for us. And Lord, help us to love one another that we may stop the accuser from his works of accusation and prevent him from killing us and destroying us. In your name, Jesus, we pray. And everyone said, Amen.
Thank you for listening to the Every Nation Singapore podcast. We hope you've been blessed by today's message. For more information, visit everynation.org.sg.